the supply chain issues.
Blog Talk Radio.
Barbara Eastman owns Happy Foods in Chicago and says she's never had empty shelves in her stores till now.
This is the first time we've ever experienced anything like this.
Major ports are dealing with an unprecedented pileup of cargo containers, and major retailers say they're scrambling to fill their shelves with certain items. Grocery stores report a thin supply of many popular items. Home Depot has started chartering ships to get around the supply chain crisis to make sure decorations, plumbing supplies, heaters, and more are in stock. The supply chain slowdown is being caused by several factors, including a shortage of truck drivers and shipping containers. Amazon will be hiring tens of thousands of people from coast to coast to get packages processed and delivered this holiday season. Rory O'Neill reports.
Amazon is looking to hire 150,000 people to meet the shopping and shipping demand this holiday season. The online retailer says average starting pay is $18 an hour, with sign-on bonuses for some jobs and additional wages for certain shifts. Amazon says many of its seasonal workers come back year after year to earn some holiday cash, while other temp workers have gone on to full-time permanent jobs with the company.
You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
For $1 a day, if any covered appliance breaks in your home, we guarantee to fix or replace it. All makes and models, washers, dryers, refrigerators, air conditioners, and more. Guaranteed to be fixed or replaced for $1 a day. Call the Home Service Club now for free information.
800-823-6836, 800-823-6836, 800-823-6836. That's 800-823-6836.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for alternative talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see partly sunny skies today. High temperatures around 54, 55 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Low temperatures dropping down to about 43, 42. For Tuesday, mostly sunny skies. High temperatures around 62. Chance of rain and clouds moving in for Tuesday night. Low temperatures dropping down to about 51. For Wednesday and running up into the weekend, more clouds and rain expected. High temperatures in the mid to upper 50s with low temperatures in the upper 40s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned, because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show. It's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Welcome, everybody. Shout out to Benny, of course, Olivia and Kent, just behind the scenes doing amazing things. Hi, Mr. B.
Howdy.
Doesn't matter what your politics are for the moment. I just want to take a moment and just acknowledge the passing of Colin Powell. And for those of you that may or may not know about that, you know, one New Yorker to another, it's always sad news. It's always sad news. You know, the book that he wrote, It Worked for Me, in Life and Leadership, that book, if you probably never read that book, that was extremely insightful. And again, it's just so sad. It's just so sad. And, of course, you can Google it and find out so much on your own. One of the things that, you know, it leads me to, or at least has me think about, Benny, is, you know, I thought about, for all of you, and by the way, thank you so much for your emails, and thank you so much for your snail mail. Benny, is that, like, still a thing?
You know it is.
Like, with the stamp.
Yes, correct.
Like,
yes.
When you get the stamp.
Yeah, it's gone up the last couple of years, but that's okay. It's still there.
Yeah.
It's still available.
Yeah, like that.
There right? You go. Bingo, bingo.
Okay. Thank you all for sending those. And, yes, I do my best to try to reply. And those of you that leave me your phone number, I will call you back, of course. But one of the things I'm really struck by is how how aware we all are about this journey we go on when we call it healing. And that's what today's show is about. You know, if you'd have told me when the show is Crust Buster Your Way to an Awesome Life back in the day that I would be having a conversation with Matthew Wood today about holistic medicine and the extracellular matrix, the science of healing at the cellular level, if you'd have thought that I would be getting ready to have that conversation with him and actually know what it is he was writing about in his book, I'd have probably looked at you and said, what? Extra what? What? But I think what happens is when you go on your own healing journey, and I've said this, April 1st of 2004, the beginning of the day I was healthy as, what's the expression, an ox. By the end of the day, that began a 10-year healing journey. The whole show nature of it didn't change. It was still positive, but the depth and the breadth of what I was now interested in sharing with all of you changed. And one of the things I learned is that there are so many aspects of who we are and so much power in these, this thing we call our body. And yet we don't know what we don't know because we're not getting the information that could in fact heal us. That's what today's show is about. Now, many of you, when I say the word herbalist, you know what I mean. When I say herbal medicine, you may know what I mean. You may not. When I say plant-based medicine, you may know what I mean. You may not. But most of you have a sense of it. What I want to talk with Matthew about today is the power of that. Yeah, power. There is power. Power in learning and working with someone like Matthew that understands for over 35 years, you know, an international author, a lecturer in the field, you know, a master's degree in herbal medicine. I mean, all of the above. Mm-hmm. What are some of the questions, though, that we should be asking ourselves as to why? Why, if there is so much information about the power of this, what is in the way? So this is where we got to bust through a little crust here. Even if our society in the United States doesn't enable us to have as much access as we want, you all know that as advocates of Lyme disease for 10 years talking about it, bringing on the best, what we know is that healing is multidimensional. But if I said to you today, the matrix is real, not to get a jump on the upcoming movie coming out, but the matrix is real, would you say, which pill should I take? Matthew, it's great to have you.
Thank you. Great introduction.
Look, I think, you know, a mentor said to me once, a long time ago, you can't take a person path to a place that you haven't gone yourself now. And I had thought I experienced everything in life. You know, mom committed suicide, homeless, the whole thing. I thought, but I was never not well. My body was the temple. Are you kidding? Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't. I want to ask you this. The journey one goes on to really heal, I mean really heal. I don't mean get rid of a symptom. I mean like heal.
Right.
Is that what you mean by the matrix being real? To get at those levels? Fill me in. It's great to have you on the show. We're going to have so much fun.
Yes. Well, actually, the matrix is pretty materialistic. Yeah, I am a multidimensional believer and practitioner, but this book got me down to the solid ground. And there is a matrix, kind of like the movie, inside of us, and actually it controls all the cells, and they all are robots. And that is what's so interesting, because that's not the cell theory. The cell theory from 1850-something tells us that each cell is in charge of its own life, just like a human being decides when it wants to eat, when it wants to procreate, when it wants to migrate, eliminate, etc. And this turns out to be completely untrue. All the cells are enslaved by this matrix, by these signals which are sent along polymers, kind of like as if there was a huge, it would seem like you'd think it would be like a spaghetti of polymers all around the cells everywhere, but actually it's more like feathers opening and closing, more water, more open, less water, less open. And as a result, they hold charges, and these electric charges tell the cells what to do. And every time you have more salt or more glucose or less salt or eat a little toxic material, all the cells are all aware all at once, like, whoa, what's going on? And the signal goes everywhere. And I think anybody who's maybe had, if you've had acupuncture and they stick a needle in on one side of your body and you feel it on the other, that's the matrix signaling system. Bing, 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 you know. So what this shows is that everything's tied together on that level, and that the basic premise of holism is true, that on the cellular level, we are a whole. Like, yes, we can make decisions. We're on the nervous level, that's not true. But on the cellular level, on our animal self level, we are actually a whole. And we can function, and we need to realize that. And that means that holistic medicine is now where the science is, ultimately, not old-time reductionist, compartmentalistic medicine. And you talked about not just treating the symptom. And I mean, I didn't go to doctors until I turned 65, and then I went to, and that was like, wow, now I see why people come to see me, because all they're doing is treating the symptom just absolutely. And if they have to validate it on a test, otherwise they just don't believe it exists.
That's,
you know?
Right.
Yeah, and you might even, if you press and press, they'll just want to put you on a psych med or something.
That's right. I mean, you know, all of the above. And what I love about, you know, I was reading your book, and I was really, I like to underline and do all that crazy stuff, right? But I'm also, you know, I also have a research background. I learned a lot from going back to school and about research. One of the things I pulled out of the book, I think it was like way at the beginning, you know, where you're talking about this is what we believed. This is how it got upgraded, what we believed. This is how it got upgraded. And then you talked about Pollock, I think, in 2001.
Yeah.
But then what happens is you're like, well, wait a minute. These views were now integrated. And I was a little shocked at the date. I had to go back. And I had read the book, and I wrote a note, and then I had to go back. 2018. You know, what was it, Overton, you mentioned.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, 2018, that's like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you about this. Okay.
Yeah.
How does that change the game? And what I mean by that is, you know, you're somebody that isn't just an expert in this field. You're also somebody that really went down to the ground level, as you said.
Yes.
But are pulling information together to see, this is where we've been. This is what we've discovered. Now, here's where we are, folks, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and this information moves slowly because the matrix, well, the matrix is known. I mean, in some ways, we always knew there was a compartment around the cells way back to the 19th century, but nobody valued it. And this Alfred Kissinger in 1975, he discovered the ground regulatory system, which showed that the matrix regulated the cells. They didn't have brains of their own. We think of the nucleus as the brain, but it's really the reproductive organs. And as I joke in the book, we humans often get our brains and our reproductive organs mixed up.
A lot of times. Yeah.
And we did that with the cells, too. So, but he discovered that in 1975, and he died about 1993 or something, 86 maybe. He addresses, well, why isn't this idea being picked up on? Why are people not realizing it? And he says it's because they aren't trained to think holistically. They aren't trained to think that the whole matters more than the reductionism, and so it'll just take a long time. And I found that this was not even known or accepted by alternative practitioners to any extent. About 1 out of 100 people seem to know anything about it. So I'm just throwing that number out. I just would run across somebody a couple times a year maybe. And then it's like, well, I've got to explain this to the alternative crowd, because they're more open, and then somebody can, I don't know, plagiarize my book 10, 15 years down the line. They got my permission, and they can explain it for the regular crowd. But it's still, there really are only two books in English on this subject, and they're really just different translations of Kissinger and Heine's book on the Matrix, one by North Atlantic Books, the other one by Hogg Publishing in Germany. And so there's, that's it. And then there's papers, as you know, Overton being a really excellent paper. And that was one that I found late in the study, of course, too, because, you know, I was writing this from 2012 on or so, a little bit every year. Yeah, and just to mention Pollock, he was a completely independent researcher,
yep,
showing us what water in the organism is not the same as water in the river. So,
And let's talk to that point, though. If we could spend a minute on this, because we don't really talk about water enough, and there's so much more to talk about here, but I really want to talk about that foundational piece. And, you know, I read a book, I can't remember the name, but I read so many books when I got sick.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, like, I didn't even know what was going on. And it took Dr. Darvish here in the Pacific Northwest to peel the layer back. Now, she didn't use the phrase matrix.
Yeah.
She never said that word. But she explained things to me in that nature. And this was news to me, but I got to tell you, it made so much sense to me. It was like, oh, that's common sense. It's like me, like I'm a layperson, right? But it's also good science to understand that. Let's have a moment with water.
Yeah.
I believe in this country and maybe other places, we are the dehydrated civilization. I don't have any facts to that. I'm just going to tell YouTube and all of you that are monitoring, that is my personal opinion. However, there is science that supports that. Can you talk to water for a minute and what your view is and what you're seeing that supports water essential in a conversation about the Matrix?
Yeah, okay, so you're from the Pacific Northwest, because interestingly, so Gerald Pollack was a professor, a researcher at University of Washington, Bellingham.
Yep.
They actually let him go when he got into his 60s. They were not interested in this research, even
That's
though
correct.
It'll be looked upon as tremendous, important research. But he found that the water inside the body, all bodies, is different from the water just out there. And actually, he also found that that rainwater has this. Actually, it originates sunlight beating on a hydrophilic surface that's a water-loving surface. So that's a rock, sand, beach, a leaf, our skin. It wouldn't be an oil slick, you know. So it's hydrophilic. So it changes. It changes from H2O to H3O plus / H2O2, meaning that there's some changes in electrons and they bond, they have a weak positive negative charge and they're bonded together. And he says that they're basically a liquid crystalline gel is what he calls it.
Yeah.
So it's like a movable soft crystal in a way. And this is why, actually you can see this. This is why, because rainwater does this, because rainwater comes off, evaporates off of the leaf, the rock. And rainwater has an edge, and the blood has an edge, and organic water has more of an edge than tap water. We can call this organic water. And this actually helps physical properties of the blood, of the fluids within us, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's so intrinsically different water, and even though it has more of an edge, it's wetter in a way. And you've tasted water that tasted wetter, you know, and water that just resisted, it's got so many minerals or hard water or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, bound up water, yeah. And so, I crave that, you know, somebody had that crazy little New Age device that we put the water on, and it's, wow, that's wetter. I didn't understand what it was, I've known of other people who change water in different ways, but Gerald Pollack really proved what the change was, and that's pretty interesting too. So this is the water that's in the matrix, and then there's the polymers, which are all important. Then there's food, waste products.
Yep.
Think electrolytes, real important, passing, and, you know, and just all through there.
Yeah.
So.
The reason I brought it up is I think even to this day in the conversations and the people that I speak with, and it's not the focus of this show today because we're going to talk about the holistic path now, as you talk about in your book, but it is a conversation that I love to hear people talk about. Like, for example, I love getting in the mail a device that will add oxygen to my water, right? Mm-hmm. You know, one of the guests I had sent me something that if I put my water in here, I'll get more oxygen in it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's a machine you can get which purifies your water and adds electrolytes to it. And I will tell you that somebody that grew up on the East Coast, right, lived in New York, New Jersey, people will still tell you to this day that tap water in New York is the best around. I don't really know about that. But there's some truth to some of this water tasting wetter. And it's just, I think it's either psychological or otherwise, but it all ties into the conversation on how do we all, whether it's a lay person or a holistic health professional, how do we bring the conversation and the matrix to the forefront? Let me ask you this question, because this is part of the book too. Where do you think the greatest challenges are from where you sit now, and you're working with holistic practitioners and lay people, but the working with, where do you think the greatest hurdle is that has to be overcome in this conversation?
About holism, you mean?
About the matrix.
Oh, about the matrix? Gee, one of the authors I quoted said it's hard to visualize the matrix, and that is true. There's reasons. It's not only that we have to change how we think. It's like even if you think outside the box, it's still hard to visualize. So it's just going to take time to slowly develop this. And, you know, like I say, I wrote for the alternative crowd, and, you know, the other crowd will catch up eventually, but it's going to be hard. It's not an easy thing, so... Yeah, and I mean, Overton's article really was a short essay which summed it all up, and that was 2018. So we're dealing with very recent, events.
I wanted to put that in the context for what we're about to talk about, because when, you know, part of this is your introduction to us begins with the organ system and a conversation about that. And a conversation like we're having now about water and electricity and chemistry and the fact that, you know, you could put a salt lamp next to a computer and within 24 hours you'll see it start to crystallize, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you ask yourself, why is my salt lamp getting all white? Oh, okay, what do you think it's absorbing? But that's a fun conversation.
Yeah.
But... you know, let's talk about the organ system, because I think one of the greatest challenges we have now, or we seem to be facing now, is how do I keep myself well? Everything from the introduction of anti-aging and the introduction of do this, take this, and, you know, what's happening as is the society here is the latest new thing that gets put on something, it's going to be what you go in and buy and get a, like, five-month supply of and don't even know how that thing, maybe it's the best thing on the planet, but don't even know how that's going to affect you internally, right?
Yeah. Well, let's actually talk about the therapeutic aspects of the matrix. Like, because it's interesting, Ben, you mentioned people talking about it without having a name for it. Yeah, there were several people like that who visualized it, but they didn't have a name for it, and they learned how to treat it. One was Marguerite Maury, who was revitalized the aromatherapy tradition in France. So that's a big deal. Her book does not really tell you how to treated, I didn't find effectively, but she, with just the book alone, but she visualized it. And then another interesting guy was Corwin Samuel West, who was a naturopath in Salt Lake City. And he just, if you simplify it down to in, mix, out, It's like the matrix is the mixed part in the middle. The in is the capillary bed bringing the stuff in. The lymphatics bring it out. So he just decided, well, I'm not against homeopathy, herbalism, dancing, anything. I'm just in favor of what's a simple method so we control what goes in and we, you know, help encourage what goes out. He used that lymphatizer where people jump up and down on a little trampoline.
Yeah.
Which another friend of mine years ago, he said, nothing is better for the lymph than horseback riding. Oh, same thing. You know?
It's the same thing.
But this also means, you know, jogging and walking and that type of activity, and certainly a lymphatic massage. So there are great herbs to clean out the lymph. Okay, so then there's the in, and he said vegetarianism, and I'm not a vegetarian, so I was like, oh, well, hold on. But he said, control the proteins, and we'll have less waste products to deal with in there. And I was like, hum, hum, hum. And then I read it, Kissinger and Heine, in their book, they said the best way to start cleaning the matrix is a protein fast. They didn't say all the time, but they just said a protein fast. It's like, okay, I'll believe you guys. You guys are the fountains, the originator. So controlling your proteins or temporarily cutting down on them to clean up. So this is a very simple detoxification. This goes back to the whole detoxification thing. And certainly, yes, you'll help with the metabolism, say that's more in the matrix. That's where we use our bitters, our liver remedies, which are really just metabolic enhancers, and then also the lymphatic cleansers. So this then is so simple that anybody can really kind of manage their matrix. It seems like you do kind of need exercise to move the lymph, I think. We would have to say, the lymph doesn't have its own motor. It's moved by breathing, mm-hmm. deep breathing, so swimming another way. Anything that pumps the lungs is going to move that lymph. So, so there's the overview in therapeutic terms. Yeah.
And, you know, I want to talk about this, you know, as we talk about the extracellular matrix, but talk about, you know, what it is you're bringing forward in the book for us to look at, for us to truly understand. Especially, I love that you're talking to holistic practitioners. I just love that you're doing that because, you know, it's not just a conversation for the average everyday person like you're talking with us, right? It's a conversation to understand this. For example, you said two things that I want to point to, and then we'll go to break and come back. One of the things you said is, you know, something has to move here. We got to move something.
Yeah.
And whenever you say that to folks, it's, you know, there's some people that, yep, I run 5 miles a day. There are other people that say, no way, these knees are gone, I'm not going to run. But what I'm finding is we have become enlightened capitalists, and we're very productive when it comes to delivering pieces of equipment that will shake up our body. No question about it.
Right.
And the question is convincing people that this is an essential element. The other thing I want to get back to when we come back is when I think about the matrix, I can't help but think about, for lack of a better term, a system. It's like the weaver and the web become one.
Yes.
Right? The weaver and the web become one. I have a lot of spider medicine. The weaver and the web become one. So in the world we live in, how do we do this? Where would we start? Is cutting back on your protein today, is that going to kickstart it? Is maybe drinking some water or drinking something that makes sure you have electrolytes? Maybe what you do is you get one of these really cool vibrating machines that I'm told that if you do those 3 times a day for 10 minutes, not only do your muscles build, but there's so many things to do when we come back with Matthew Wood. You're going to find out why having one or several of these in your daily routine is critical. Not even like maybe you should, but like a critical. When we come back, we're going to talk about what does this structure mean. And for those people, if you're listening, and I bet you've heard this before from holistic practitioners, well, I don't know where to start. That's what Matthew's going to talk about. For those of you that are just tuning in, I want to make sure you know I am here with Matthew Wood, and we're talking about this great book, Holistic Medicine and the Extracellular Matrix, the Science of Healing at the Cellular Level. Why? Well, if you're somebody like me and your doctor says your cells have stopped working, you get on a mission to find out what the heck that means. Let's take a short break. When we're back, more with Matthew right here on the show. We'll be right back.
Brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com. Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Ober. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Ober. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyober.com. That's drkathyober.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Jane Mack, and I'd love to tell you about the latest technology of the Volara Company. I've been using the Volara Company equipment, the air machine, since 1992, and I have found them to be totally successful in killing mold, mildew, and keeping your house fresh and clean. If you'd like more information on it, you can go to MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Everyone, welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. And by the way, we're taking your questions. If you have a question for Matthew, certainly give us a call, 1-800-930-2819. And Olivia will also be watching Facebook if you want to ask a question there. There's just a lot really here. And, you know, when we talk about holistic medicine and the extracellular matrix, and that's what, you know, Matthew has done. There's a lot here to unpack, but there is a reoccurring theme. Now, Matthew, before we go ahead and do this, how do people get a copy of the book, and how do they find out more about you?
Well, let's see. The book is published by Inner Traditions of Vermont, and it's, they tell me it's coming out on November 9th, I believe they said, although they started out on October 6th and then October 29th, and we'll see if it's really out on the 9th. But then,
yeah, I have an advanced copy.
Oh, yeah, I have an advanced copy. Wait a second. It's not online, and it's not a internet copy? Wow. I didn't get one of those.
No, I actually have a digital copy. Let me correct myself.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't get my hands on the real one, so just saying.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I suppose it'll be available on Amazon and stuff. I mean, I'll set up my own site eventually, and that would be through my Matthew Wood Institute of Herbalism, which you can find on the net, and I teach tests on herbalism and organ systems. And this is an organ system. You mentioned this, that this sounds like a system. And this is really the primal system that when the multicellular critters began, there were just some sea slime on the bottom of the ocean, and they sent a membrane out. They sent a bunch of cells out there. Let's enclose ourselves. And then they became an enclosed slime. And from there, we became higher organisms. But so we're in closed seawater of 4.5 billion years ago or so, and I think, I can't remember. And we have those salts. It's a different ocean than today. But we need those salts. We need that water. Well, Pissinger anticipated. People said, well, what's the regulatory system for the single cell in the ocean? He said, the ocean, the seawater. And this model is so true. Our environment regulates ourselves. So, and the environment inside our body regulates ourselves. So,
yeah. I was struck by a couple things in the book, and I want to get to them and really have you walk us through this. You know, one of the things that I love is that you present a case for the scientific justification of holistic medicine. Not quite sure why we need that. This is just my point of view.
Yeah.
Because before conventional allopathic medicine, like human beings, people, before they had the pharmacy and the whole deal, right, and the doctor, what were they using so that civilization didn't disappear? What did people figure out? Like, let's say you're over in Egypt and, you have essential oils. You have all these oils and you start to use all these oils. What did they figure out? See, this is what I love about this. We're having to have scientific justification of holistic medicine, which was the only vehicle available to human beings that helped us not completely disintegrate.
Yeah.
But I thank you for doing that.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, and while I'm an herbalist, and when I was young, I thought everything's treatable by herbs, and then I realized, no, food and exercise are crucial all the time throughout life. And so, can't do everything with herbs. But you can come close. But so food and exercise, and this goes, your question reminds me of Hippocrates, their basic system. Modern doctors don't understand it, but they just fast you for a week or two, not a completed fast, but a very controlled diet. So imagine eating tabbouleh salad for 2 weeks. You know, I love tabbouleh salad, but you'd probably get really sick of it. But this takes a burden off your system. It's like takes the toxins out. It's like the allergies out, and your body gets a chance to reassert itself. And then there's a healing crisis, and it eliminates in the channels of elimination, whether it's phlegm or diarrhea or urination or whatever, you eliminate, and then you're healthier, and they have learned to interpret, you know, you're going to need to fast again. That's not a good enough elimination. But so that's a very simple, I mean, this is the beginning of medicine in the West at any rate. And, you know, and just, and also things like opening the channels of elimination, the Native American Sweat Lodge, the Finnish sauna. I was listening to a great, I'll give you his name, a professor from University of Madison, University of Wisconsin Madison, and he was saying, he was a psychiatrist, and saying, well, to treat depression, you have to have gratitude, compassion, and an open heart, and not think about yourself all the time. But he said, but it's often a thermoregulatory problem with too much heat and you often need a sweat lodge, sauna. It's treatable that way because depressed people run a degree or two hotter. This is, again, you know, so these very, very simple ancient methods which I didn't mention that in the book, but I do would say that opens up your sweat pores, and then you're eliminating better. Takes the burden off your kidneys, off your colon, off your lungs. So and you want to make sure, and if you're constipated, the Hippocratic physicians were definitely concerned about that, then you want to take care of that. But so you keep the channels of elimination open. As we get older, those are the four channels of elimination. Younger women have menstruation as well, but it's the skin, the kidneys, the colon, the lungs, and keep the channels open. If there's any problem there, try to some simple solution. So that's eliminating. We keep that lymph moving. We keep that metabolism going well if we can. And then we watch our diet. And as you and I were saying, I can't remember if it was on our break or in general, we're saying there's no one diet for everybody. No. It's just like, please, everybody, yeah, you may fit a stereotype, Dr. Atkins or this or that, but not everybody does. So don't become a fanatic about it. Don't try to lay it on other people. But be grateful when you find the thing that works for you.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
You know, I love that we're talking about this because I was put on the Master Cleanse. And it was one of the toughest ones to start. And then my naturopath had to just say, beg me to get off it. I mean, I was 42 days into it, and I've never felt better. I mean, it was a little unusual for me. I had a modified version of it. And my modified version of it was most of the day that's what I would do. But at night, I would have steamed vegetables, brown rice, and tahini or something. I don't know. And I just loved it, and my body loved it. It was interesting. It's not for everyone. And there's a point that you get to where you know you have to do something else. But I was struck by a couple of things in the book that are really concerning for me. As a human, but also to understand what you're saying here. I can't remember where in the book you talk about the nerve system and hormones, but there's a section where you talk about the nervous system and the endocrine system.
Yeah.
And what I loved about this, albeit it was a really short section of the book, it is a very important one because there are some medicines that affect the nervous system.
Yeah.
And I mentioned one to you earlier, you know, people that will get surgeries, right? Like I got two major surgeries this year. My choice, I got two new knees. Oh, my God, what a difference.
Yeah.
And so allopathic conventional medicine really takes us to almost science fiction levels with surgeries like this that work, right?
Yeah.
But then the recovery is what we don't know enough about, you know, and the reason that this was important for me to bring up, because I think these two aspects in your book, the endocrine system and the nervous system, we're not talking about them enough. Mm-hmm. And yet you bring it to the forefront to both the practitioners and to us to understand that, you know, this at the cellular level, you know, I think you it's mindless vegetable and there's no individualization at all. And I love that statement.
Yeah, that's the matrix is operating on the level of the vegetable and the vital signs that show up on the computer in the hospital. And that's really what we often have to treat that. But then above that, so let's go. Well, there's four regulatory systems I know. So the first one, we'll start at the bottom. That's the ground regulatory system in the matrix. Then we get to a really interesting one, the biomechanical regulatory system, which is electrons moving along bones and joints. Not very well known, but you'd find it in work. There's a couple of people that they're more interested in structural skeletal type stuff. Okay, so that's going, and you need that to be functioning relatively well. And then we get to, the hormonal level, which is more primitive and ancient than the neurological level. And so we have signals, chemical signals, and they have to go permeate through the membranes. And so actually the matrix is important for that too, because the hormones have to go diffuse out of the capillaries into the matrix to find their target cells. So we have to keep a clean matrix just to have good hormonal function. And also, and herbalists really can see this, that you often have to have a good operating liver, which often does mean the liver, but also means the cells in general. The metabolism is breaking down old hormones and allowing for new ones to appear and getting rid of hormonal garbage and sometimes making the hormones too. So we need to have that, and we use bitters, the old-time bitters for that often. Let's just say dandelion and milk thistle and St. John's wort, unless you're on a drug, but St. John's wort breaks down too because it's so effective it breaks down drugs. Okay, so that's getting the hormones to move through things. And certainly, you know, with aging, we want to be able to generate hormones. That's a bigger picture. I would say about aging right away, wrinkles and so on, that's the matrix. When you start wrinkling, that is the matrix drying up. So you want to plump up that matrix, you know. And that's mucilages, that's a category. Okra is the main mucilage in food. And so now some people, they actually get sicker from mucilages, but other people get healthy.
Hey, I grew up on okra. Are you kidding? What do you have a stepmom from the South?
My mom was from Brooklyn. You're from New York, or?
I'm from New York, but my stepmom was from the Deep South. So I have an interesting. Holidays were very cool in our house.
Yeah.
But okra and learning actually how to pick it and make it myself from wild. I never knew that about it though. But I think my mom did intuitively. I mean, every week it was on the table. Every week.
Yeah, I grew up in Minnesota. My mom was from Brooklyn, but my dad was from Kansas, and she knew he liked okra. But when I was young, the only okra we had was what we grew in the garden. So we had it for a month or two. Maybe the same thing. Yeah, but nowadays you can get it. I noticed when the food, when COVID broke out and everybody was cleaning off the shelves, the last thing that was left in Minnesota was okra.
That's so true. I mean, I totally agree. But, you know, what we're talking about is, in your book, you give us solutions. See, this is what I like. I mean, even the conversation, the reason I brought up the paragraph or the chapter on nerves is because if we are doing something to our nervous system, and it doesn't matter what it is. I'm not a medical doctor. But I will tell you that there is such a thing as nerve blockers. Gabapentin is one of them.
Yeah.
And while it does serve a purpose for people that run into issues, it has some other effects that people don't know about. Like if you're taking a nerve blocker for a year, And so your book explains this beautifully. And not only that, you've already named four things that I have access to that I need to get on. But what I love about this is there's so much you're bringing to the forefront in this book. It really takes more than one read for me.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you this in the time we have left.
Yeah.
People can take action on their own behalf.
Yeah.
If you read this book, you'll be able to take action on your own behalf because you're explaining to us how the matrix works.
Yeah.
And we'll be able to figure out what it is inside of us without holding you to a specific situation. I want to ask you, what is on the top of the list as you're working with people, right? Everything that I read here, I started to go through and look at, and I thought, what is this, hyaluronic acid?
I
know what
that is. You can get supplements.
You can get a little bottle of it or something and put it in your water. But tell us, based on what you're seeing, for people listening, there are things we can do.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, so what I call mucilage is the GLOPS that's in the matrix, which is a hyaluronic acid and all the sulfates. And those of you who are familiar with glucosamine sulfate, that grew out directly out of Dr. Pissinger's work. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if he actually thought of it and got the wheels turning, but it turned up in the health food stores in the early 90s or mid-90s, and he was already dead then. But glucosamine sulfate was originally, so he said, it turns out that the cancer cells like the matrix signals too. They can't grow without it. So he said, well, we need strong matrix material to cut off that cell and make clean margins, as a surgeon would say, boom, cut that off. And it turns out that doing that even kills the cancer sometimes, because it is dependent on these same signals that the healthy cells are dependent on. This isn't, you know, true all the time, but so that's important. So glucosamine sulfate, that's why it was introduced. 70% of it can get beyond the cell membrane into the body. But people found, it's helping their joints, you know, because this mucilage builds, the joints basically are like an extrusion of the matrix. They're just a refined, the fluid inside this cartilage is just a refinement of the matrix. So there's, you know, okay, so that's part of the principle. And, you know, I have my favorite herbs for this and that, but I wanted to do general things that, you know, like okra, that everybody could do. You're actually turning me on to an idea. I've got to find somebody who would want to write a cookbook for enhancing your matrix.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. So
it's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, I hadn't even thought of it until now. Yeah. So we'll look out there. Someone who's really good at that kind of thing. Yeah. So, that basic principle of Dr. West, that holds true with foods. One of the most important things is eliminate your own personal allergies. That's almost more important than finding the diet that works. And the person you were mentioning on break who just can't stop gaining weight, like I had to stop. When I stopped eating gluten, I lost 25 pounds in about 3 months. It was really cool. And then when I got off milk, I steamed or cooked milk, I can do, but and even that, I feel like I'm on the edge. But I still continue to lose weight little by little by little from that initial. So those are my two, dairy and wheat are my two allergies, and that's common. But not everybody has that allergy. So you do have to eliminate your allergies as well as find the diet that works for you personally. And remember, I mean, you've got to be full. It sounds like you were okay on the extreme diet, but you do have to feel satisfied. So there's a compromise between what's healthy and what you need to feel good. And you got to work at that to find healthy things that make you feel full.
Yeah.
So that's why I stay with the milk, actually.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I really discovered after the fact was that I definitely wasn't getting enough water. So what happened, and I would not follow the whole, I would not put a half a bottle of maple syrup in it. But what I loved was, this was a concoction, because I realized I love I love red pepper. But this concoction for me got me to drink a lot of water. And even though it had the maple syrup in it, you know, I would drink and drink and drink. But the other thing, too, you mentioned in your book, and this is what's kind of cool about this, is, you know, people can go through here and do an assessment of themselves. See, this is what I liked about it, is as I started to go through, I started to say, oh, wait a minute. Okay, that could be a solution. Okay, that's why they're saying, go do this. So you give us the understanding, because I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm different, Matthew, and really talk to this, but, you know, you could tell somebody do this, and this, but they have a better chance of doing it if they understand why.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, that's really a good point. Yeah, yeah, and in fact, that's why I wrote this book, because I couldn't hear as an herbalist. I really couldn't understand physiology, because it was like sitting in midair with no foundation. This is the foundation. And the first thing I heard about it, it's like, wait, I've got to study this. 10 years of study and 8 years of writing and finally the book. And I had to do it myself because there were just so few books out there already, and papers too.
Okay, you didn't leave anything really unturned. And I love the way you organized the book because, you know, by the time I got to the part about different tissues of connected tissue fiber, by the time I got to that part of the book, I was already understanding that there are some things that if one changes immediately, and I don't mean drastically change.
Yeah.
And this is really what I loved about this, and I hope you do that cookbook. You have to talk to Gail about that and get that done. Because part of this is we are so bombarded now with do this diet or do this diet. And maybe a keto diet isn't for you, or maybe you have to modify it. Maybe eating 100 grams of fat is just doesn't feel right to you.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and you can modify things. Don't we have to get back to our intuition in a lot of ways?
Yeah. Things that make sense, that are intuitive, things that are instinctive, that's the inner animal, the instinct that feels right, you know, et cetera, and creativity, you know, and you can get bored with food. So you're Italian, I think, so you know about good food.
I do know about good food. I'll tell you what I know about growing up Italian, and I'd like to hear your comment on this. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a lot of good food that is made, a lot of great food. Yeah. But what I love about it is when you go to sit down and have dessert, I've never seen my dad's plate have 16 different kinds of cannolis and Napoleons. You know, there's a level of moderation that I got to experience in watching the family eat. And it's not really depicted well in the movies, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, you always see a giant bowl of pasta. But if you ever sat down to a real feast, it's a seven-hour process with small portions of stuff.
Yeah.
First of all, let me thank you for joining me here today.
Thank you.
There's so much in the book that I'd love for you to come back when the book is actually out. Because there's so much we didn't really even talk to. But the way you've laid it out, and especially when you talk about communication inside the matrix, that is an enormous, enormous part. Matthew, how do they find out more about you?
Yeah, I guess through the Matthew Wood Institute of Herbalism. I have a Facebook page on that, and then a website, woodherbs.com, and you just Google it, and you'll find me anyways. And we have a huge library. It's really fun. I have all sorts of classes, and you can subscribe by the month, and there's just classes upon classes. And I really do want to develop a nutritional program, and I've got some, and I line up other people, you know, that are pretty alternative, and we're on the outer edge, the alternative, I would say. that's where I find myself.
Yeah, and, you know, we didn't get to talk about this, but when the book comes out, I hope you'll come back. I want to talk to you next time about the three stages of healing, absolutely coming out with inflammation to talk about, because I don't know if you read about the latest statistics on inflammation and autoimmune disease, but people should read this book. I know I have had to go back and rewrite it. Matthew, what's your personal message? What do you want to leave us with today?
Oh, in mix, I'll just take care of that and develop your own philosophy. Be aware of that. Develop how to watch the in, take care of the mix, and take care of the out. So.
I love it. Thank you so much for everything. And by the way, folks, we're going to have Matthew back when the book does come out, Holistic Medicine and the Extracellular Matrix. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I have just a couple things I'm already going to change. The science of healing at the cellular level with my very special guest today, Matthew Wood, everybody. Matthew, thank you so much for all that you're doing in the world.
Thank you. You've been a great interviewer.
Oh, my gosh. I wish I had 2 hours to talk to you. I hope you'll come back. We've got to get Gail on that, okay?
All right.
Let's take a short break. We're not done yet. We are just warming up. But this book is so awesome. I can't wait to get it in my hands, everybody. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. Well, good thing, folks, so far no major blocking or accidents to report at the moment. As we approach, looks like the Monday lunch rush, traffic again looking pretty good. A little bit of slowing in 405 southbound in the Kennedale Hill area just after that construction zone. But again, everywhere else, traffic's looking pretty good. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news weather, yes, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network and the Dr. Pat Show Talk Radio to Thrive By in Healing Racism Within. Stay tuned. NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. President Biden is calling the late General Colin Powell a patriot of unmatched honor and dignity. Biden released a statement following Powell's death due to complications from COVID-19, adding Powell embodied the highest ideals of both warrior and diplomat. The former Secretary of State died of coronavirus complications while being treated for cancer. Powell had multiple myeloma, a cancer of the plasma cells, for which treatment undermines the body's ability to fight infections. The 84-year-old's family announced the former four-star general's death on Facebook today, noting he was fully vaccinated against COVID. The parents of Gabby Petito are appearing on 60 Minutes Australia. Lisa G has more.
During the interview Sunday night, they condemned her fiancé, Brian Laundrie, and pleaded for him to turn himself into authorities. Laundrie, who was named a person of interest by the FBI and is wanted on a federal arrest warrant for bank card fraud, has been missing since September 13th. Gabby Petito, a native of Blue Point, Long Island, was found dead on September 19th. Petito's stepfather thought Laundrie would take care of her when they went on a cross-country trip.
Russia will withdraw all of its permanent representatives to NATO November 1st after NATO expelled 8 members of Russia's delegation. They were accused of being undeclared spies. Julia Chapman has more.
Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov says NATO's military mission in Moscow would also be stripped of its accreditation. Any communication going forward will be conducted through the Russian embassy in Brussels. The move comes amid rising tensions between Russia and the bloc, which has accused Moscow of carrying out malign activities.
There's mounting pressure on the Biden administration to address the supply chain issues hitting stores nationwide. Major ports are dealing with an unprecedented pileup of cargo containers, and major retailers say they're scrambling to fill their shelves with certain items. That's led Florida Senator Rick Scott to ask for the U.S. Commerce Secretary to testify before the Senate, saying the American people need answers. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
If you're successful in life, you understand the concept of protecting yourself. Let me ask you this. Are you protecting your family and your assets with quality term life insurance? At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000, $1 million, or more. So call us right now for a free, no-pressure quote. 800-509-1741. 800-509-1741. 800-509-1741. 1741.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Thank you so much for all of that. I want to, again, acknowledge the passing of Colin Powell. Well, for those of you that may not have heard, hearts and prayers go out to him and his family. And, of course, you could read all about that, as usual, on the Internet. Hello to Benny. Hi, Mr. Benny.
Hey, Pat.
How are you?
Good, good, good.
I was
a little surprised to hear that. You know, I think sometimes we think people are going to live forever. I know certainly that's sort of my view of things. I've always been a little shocked when people have passed. And, you know, you think about that and you have those moments where you believe they're going to live on forever. And I find that kind of odd in my own personal journey because I've lost so many family members suddenly. You know, many people get to have the experiences of their family and their moms and their dads, and, you know, they see them go into their more wisdom years. And, you know, I've not had that experience in my life. But I do know one thing, that, you know, we are here in the world to experience a level of empathy and compassion which we've not done before. There's an opportunity for all of us, regardless of what you thought about Colin Powell's political perspective. You know, we're so far beyond that now. I hope we can all get beyond that now and start to look at each other right in the eye as human beings, you know, and not let the great divide divide our humanity. And that is my greatest hope. You know, today's conversation, and Brett is, I believe, going to join us here in a minute. I hope Brett Bevel's going to join us here in a minute, because Brett is the author of a book called Healing Racism Within, A Lightworker's Guide. And you've heard me do a number of shows talking about some of my early experiences. And I should probably get this image to Olivia. I'm going to try to get this image to Olivia if I can get my hands on it quickly here to put up on Facebook. And I have been talking about my history, my childhood growing up, and, you know, and my experiences as well. And if you grow up kind of in a community like myself and my older sister did, and so we grow up in a community where you just are not aware that there's so much hate, right? I mean, you know, at some point in your life you get older and something may happen, right, where you see it or feel it. And, you know, growing up, when you grow up in a community as we did, and then my sister, of course, in Yonkers, and her door was, I want to talk about my sister for a minute, because this book is so important, Healing Racism Within. I want to talk about this. And, you know, one of the things that we learn is we can learn from each other. We can. And part of what seems to happen sometimes is we sacrifice a conversation because we're afraid we're going to be politically incorrect. Right. We sacrifice that conversation because we're afraid we're going to err on the side of something or another. And, you know, and we don't have conversations that allow us to get to know. So I'm going to read this from the book, Healing Racism Within. And I want to read this. This was a reference or recommendation from Iyanla Van Zandt, who I've gotten to interview a number of times. But this is what she is saying about the book. And just want to read this. From a deep place within his heart, Brent Bevel is supporting Black Americans in realizing that racism exists, not only through unjust laws and the dysfunctional systemic policies in our businesses, schools, and government, but also in ourselves, our emotions, our brains, and hearts, and the ghosts of our ancestors and the family systems we've inherited. And like other forms of disease, it can be addressed and healed if we look at it fiercely and honestly and have the courage to act accordingly. Thank you, Brett, for this beautiful bag of tools we can use to dismantle race-based conditioning. And this is a bag of tools. And when I think about this, what am I talking about? And what is Brett talking about? What is he talking about in this book? Right. And just so you know, I want to talk a little bit about who he is, right, for a minute. So Reiki master, author of several books, The Wizard's Guide to Healing Energy, The Reiki Magic Guide to Self-Attunement, Reiki for Spiritual Healing. I mean, you know, Reiki master since 1995. So, you know, when you are someone like him and you are not only understanding but enacting and practicing energy healing and energy healing, like magical awakening, it makes so much sense then to really look at what he says or he is doing. And I was really fascinated. I was reading something from his website, and it was a recording that he did a while ago, America Needs a Woman President. And I started to read that and read a number of different versions of it. But most importantly, the question then becomes, what are we missing? What are we missing in the conversation about healing racism? What is totally missing? And it's really kind of interesting because it's okay to say, I don't know what I don't know. I don't know what I don't know about your experience. I don't know what I don't know. And begin a dialogue. And really what we're talking about here is we're talking about a conversation that Brett talks about when he says energy healing is for everyone. And so when you say that, then why not healing racism within a lightworker's guide? Why not then open up the conversation? Why not get face-to-face or Zoom-to-Zoom, or it doesn't matter. But let's talk about this for a minute. Because there's a picture I'm going to try to get to Olivia to put up. And it's a picture of me and my table tennis coach, and I was young. I was at a young age. And we were inseparable. Now, how does something like that even happen? How does that happen? Well, I will tell you from the way we grew up, and especially through my high school years. I'm a graduate of Plainfield High School. So y'all that want to know about Plainfield High School, go Google Plainfield High School in New Jersey. But when I think about growing up and when I think about who we played with as kids, and then I think about my sister, and my sister's choice, by the way, I will tell you this is a choice. My sister's choice to live in the projects in Yonkers until she passed away. And I want to just say that when we get to the place in life where we make bold choices, despite what other people will say about us, despite what the consequences may be, despite how it may look in the neighborhood or how it may look in your family. And my stepmom was a perfect, perfect, perfect champion for this. Because no matter what you would say to her, she was not going to follow suit by anything that was going to exclude people from the human conversation. Now, that's a big statement. But what that means is, you know, she was not going to be that person that wouldn't open her doors and invite people to an open door Thanksgiving. And it didn't matter whether you were from our culture or not, or what color of the skin you had. This was such an interesting upbringing for me, which I didn't realize till I was older. But my sister lived this. Now, what does that even mean when I think about this? And so in his book, this is the cool thing in here. This is the wound we cannot see. And Brett opens up this book. If you are an energy healer, there are wounds you cannot see unless you are that. You cannot see them. But when I think about his work, and I think about the message of this book, this is where we have to open up the conversation and begin. We have to open up the conversation and begin. And I've talked about my sister on a number of different shows before. I've also talked about the fact that because of the way I was raised and because of the way we were raised, that had very little to do with the religion that somebody had, that was never even going to be a thing. It definitely wasn't going to be a thing for my stepmom. Whether or not somebody's skin was white or a different color, whether or not you cooked with a certain type of food or not, whether or not you ate meat on Friday or you didn't, none of us really had that exposure until we were older, and then it was a shock. My shock came when I was driving with my coach, Sam Hammond, from a tournament, and it was like one of those scenes, Benny, from that movie Green Book, I think was the movie. And it was like one of those scenes, and you're driving from Philly back from a tournament, and you get pulled over for no reason at all. No reason at all. Not a broken headlamp, nothing. So you have an experience like that, and you're raised like me. What do you think happens with an experience like that? Or growing up as a kid, you're walking through Central Park with your friends, and you are white, a white woman, a kid. I'm a white kid then because I was younger. And your friends are not white. And you're going through Central Park, and out of the bushes, somebody jumps out and stabs one of your friends, one of the friends of color. You have to be thinking, if you're somebody like us who was raised like us, you have to be thinking that it couldn't possibly be that. And it took so many years later. And then if you're my sister Joyce, I want to just tell you how interesting my family was growing up when it comes to race. And if you're my sister Joyce, and you are this girl from the South who finds herself in the middle of the Bronx, and your first boyfriend is from Puerto Rico, and he happens to be in a gang, and then you become the head of the gang. Now, why am I saying this? Because what changes in our lives? What is it that happens in our lives? How do we see people differently? Is there something that is in ourselves, just like here, that no matter how many of these situations I'm talking to you about my upbringing, it's still not enough. It's still not enough. There's still more healing to do. We're going to take a short break, Benny, Olivia. When we come back, I would like to talk a little bit more about the book. I'd like to share a few things from the book. But there's so many things here to talk about. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
Be demanding, but sometimes our wheels are spinning and we're too focused on making them turn to notice we're stuck in the mud. Tune into The Pause with me, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Learn how to stop, reflect, and start moving forward with intention. And if you're really looking to jumpstart your personal development, schedule a free coaching consultation with me at ellenwyomingdeloy.com.
Who taught you or your kids how to handle stress? That's right, no one. I'm combat veteran Deb Lewis, and I'm on a mission to change that. My new children's book, Why is Pono Not Pono Today, is set in Hawaii. Lovable characters, Pono the Bull and his friend Kuleana, show us how a stressful situation ends happily. Look closer to reveal powerful ways to handle all types of stress. Start loving your stress-filled life today. Go to mentallytoughwomen.com.
Is your life stressful and unfulfilling? Would you like to make changes, but you don't know how? Hi, I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show. I'd like to recommend The Necktie and the Jaguar by Carl Greer. This is a memoir with questions to help you change your story and live a life that's more pleasing to you. For more information or to purchase this fabulous book, please go to TransformationTalkRadio.com or go to CarlGreer.com. Join Jennifer Noelle Taylor on the hit show Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll take a quantum journey as well as reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal quantum touch principles. For more information, visit QuantumTouch.com. Did you know that each Enneagram type has a different worldview, different patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving? They also have essential qualities that are unique to their type. Understanding this helps us develop more tolerance, respect, and appreciation for ourselves and others. Renee Siegel works with individuals, couples, families, and groups using the Enneagram to build better relationships as a tool in addiction recovery. Visit YouArePurePotential.com for more info.
Can you truly say that you know and love yourself? Courtney Cottrell is an author, speaker, and 21-year active duty master chief with the U.S. Navy, here to encourage you to take back your power and live your life with intention and purpose. Tune in to Unapologetically Favored every fourth Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Walk in your purpose. Visit unapologeticallyfavored.com to learn more about Courtney.
I've been searching for you.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back. It looks like our guest is not going to be joining us here today. We'll have to get him back. The book is Healing Racism Within, A Lightworker's Guide. And, you know, as I said before, you could go to Brett's website and just take a look at what Brett does. And I just shared a little bit about, you know, when you're a lightworker or when you're an energy healer, or anything to do with this, there is so much you, quote, don't see the way we see it. And, you know, what Brett talks about is so much a part of sometimes what we go through. I think one of the things he comes out and says, he says, I refuse to acknowledge that some memories of my family were alcoholics and others were even pedophiles. Nor did I consider Clyde, my father's raging, hateful real estate friend who bragged to us about having killed an innocent black boy years before and was someone I hated, whose presence I dreaded, to be a murderer. Yeah. Like, that is a lot. And when you go and you read some more of this and you hear what he says, and while I didn't realize the grand wizard of KKK who came to repair a television because I couldn't see, I don't want to say this, the crack of you-know-what while he bent over to work, I found his constant anti-Semitic commentary idiotic. It never occurred to me that my father may be a supporter of that same hateful ideology. See, this is what we called ignorance. And ignorance is not an excuse for racism, but let's just say ignorance. You know, there are a lot of shows that we're bringing forward on the network that are really hopefully going to help us understand the word racism, because it's not just a word. I want to just tell you, for me, I've seen a lot of things in my life, but that experience with Sam and that experience of being in a car or walking through Central Park and somebody jumps out of the bush and kills your friend with a knife. And you don't really put it together because, you know, let me just say, back then, we didn't really talk about hate crimes very much. It wasn't like even a thing. People of color just got killed. But you didn't even really put that together, right? You didn't really put that together. So, you know, you have a group of kids walking through Central Park, just like any group of kids. Yes, it was at night. No, we shouldn't have been walking through the park. All of those things, right, that you grow up with, never do this, never walk through here. And then we're kids because we're not going to walk around. We're going to take a shortcut through Central Park because that's just what you do. And then you watch that. And you're a kid, though. So you're not part of the conversation that goes on. You go to the funeral, of course. But you're not part of the conversation. You're not part of, and then your family, you know, your parents go to the funeral. And they go to the, but you're not part of the conversation because you're a kid. Of why did that happen? At least you weren't then, because racism ignorance was so rampant that it didn't even have a phrase. It didn't have a phrase. But to see it where I live now in the Pacific Northwest, to see it now, and let me just give you another version of it. There are several versions of it that I reflect back on, and that's why I was excited about this book. But denial is one of the greatest challenges we have to even having a conversation about racism. And I don't care. As much as you hear me talk about my life and all these experiences, am I eligible to say I'm not a racist? Are there parts of me that can say that? And this is really what we're being challenged to do. I have to tell you, thank you to the phone company for a couple things. One is, they had some serious sensitivity training there back at Bell Labs and AT&T. I mean, serious sensitivity. You think EST and the Forum and all these places, before there was all of them, there was sensitivity training. And I remember going through my first sensitivity training class, paid for by the company. It was 7 days. 7 days. It was grueling. You know, some people said it was so far over the top and people had to take weeks off to recover from it. Why? Because in 7 days, nothing was left under the stone. Not the man in the class that tried to rescue a woman after the facilitator literally took her apart to understand how this affects whether or not we can stand to be empowered as women, to conversations about race that you didn't even think were possible, to effects on how you or do not have your children play with other children or your grandchildren for that matter. And you don't really say out loud, well, I'm not really sending Johnny over there because of dot, 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 but you still don't send Johnny. It's really interesting about what we're discovering about ourselves if we plan to do it. But this day, with Sam, my coach, and I didn't really understand this very much until later. It just didn't hit me. But I'm young. I wonder, I'm trying to think if I was even 21. I don't even know. And this man watched me play, practice in a full cast, because my knees were not good since I was 19. I just tore up my left knee. But he watched me play in a full cast, right? Can't move. And he walks over to me in a broken accent. And he says, what are you doing? Like with that, you know, that accent, that just beautiful accent. And he walks over to me, and he's got this striped shirt on. I got to find this picture for Olivia. And he walks over to me, and he says, what are you doing? Like that. Like, what are you doing? And I just looked at him like, I'm practicing. He says, no, what are you doing? And I looked at him again. I said, I'm practicing. And he proceeded to to talk to me and say, paraphrasing, you're never going to make that shot right. And he never said anything about my cast. And I later found out who this man was because he got on the table next to me playing with the top person of the club, teaching another kid, Muriel Stern and her brother. And I watched him do this. I later found out this man was the national champion of Ghana, Africa, was from Ghana, Africa. And after we were all done, I looked at him and I said, how do I get better? And he says, well, I'll help you. That became a journey for me that lasted until I stopped playing and went back to school. But on this one day, coming back from Philly, late at night, something happened that nobody could predict. And if you saw that movie, Green Book, I think it's called Green Book, Benny. If you saw that movie, there's a scene in that movie, and every time I see this scene, I play this incident over and over and over and over in my mind, and I feel every emotion from it. It is one of the rawest feelings that you could feel when you watch somebody you care for being mistreated, harmed, because of the color of their skin. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what do you do? What do any of us do? And I want to say this. When I watched my friends here, my friends from China, my friends from Korea, when I watched these folks in their neighborhoods in the Pacific Northwest in the past year walking back from a grocery store and some of them being beat so badly in the Pacific Northwest, yeah, it causes us to all hit the pause button. And is it true? Can we really heal racism within? What are we so afraid of? What were those policemen on that day that pulled us over so afraid of? Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Though your home base is one Enneagram type, you have characteristics of all the types. Tune in to Enneagram Conversations with Renee Siegel the second and fourth Monday of each month at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn how you can unlock your unlimited potential. Visit YouArePurePotential.com for more about Renee and her work. That's the letter U, the letter R, PurePotential.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Can you truly say that you know and love yourself? Corny Cottrell is an author, speaker, and 21-year active duty master chief with the U.S. Navy, here to encourage you to take back your power and live your life with intention and purpose. Tune in to Unapologetically Favored every fourth Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Walk in your purpose. Visit unapologeticallyfavored.com to learn more about Corny.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on a adventure through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Learn
how to lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, MilesToGoCoaching.com.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and make your appointment today. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. You know, one of the things I was saying is really struck by, and I'm really proud of our network. You know, we're bringing powerful, powerful conversation, you know, to the forefront on so many things. And one of them is something I hadn't really imagined early on for a network, but clearly, you know, the conversation that has to do with how we create a level playing field. And what does that mean? You know, how do we do that? And I was sharing a story about Sam Hammond, and I'm going to put the image up here. I think Jacob said he would be able to really show it to you. For those of you that heard me talk about Sam the other day, I didn't have the image readily available to me. And I just put up a really bad copy of that image. But one of the things that happens along the way is you learn lessons by reading about them. You learn lessons by hearing about them. You certainly learn things from your folks when you grow up. But there's nothing more powerful that I think you learn than to have a life experience about something. And, you know, one of the things that I was really struck by, and, you know, I want to read this from the book. It says, raising your voice in more ways than one. It says, white silence on the issue of racism is a big reason why it's been so hard to create long and lasting change. White silence. The inability of whole segments of populations to speak about police brutality when this brutality includes murder, sometimes even caught on film, is insane. You can help end that silence by bringing your voice to protest, by speaking to family and friends about issues related to ones like the mass incarceration of blacks. Know that the power of your voice creates change each time you use it. The power, however, is more than just communicating your position to others. The sound of the human voice can also bring healing to the body and psyche. Sound healing techniques have been helpful for many of their own healing process. You know, one of the things, and this is, by the way, for those of you out there, this is from the book Healing Racism Within. Sometimes you can't help yourself. Sometimes you can't. And, you know, and sometimes you don't realize the impact of things. And I will tell you, you know, like on a night like that when we're driving in a car and there was two of us and two people in the back, and you're driving in a car, and I think Jacob has the picture of Sam that he's going to put up on Facebook. And so if you take a look at that picture, yes, that person, you look at the mug of the person in that picture, that's me. That's like that expression on my face, that was my game. That's my game face. But when you grow up like I did, and then you go through the generations and the decade we went through, protesting was an understatement for a lot of us. You know, protesting and being on the streets and marching for all sorts of things, it was a way of life. It was a way to have a voice. It was a way to say something is wrong here. And I remember this
you know, as a young person, but then I remember again, you know, in the 80s when living on the East Coast, and honestly, you couldn't get a conversation with Mayor Koch around men in the gay community dying from AIDS. I mean, there could not be a conversation about that, you know, protest after protest. But to experience what happens when you get pulled over by the police, and you are a white woman, a young woman, very young if you look at that picture, in a car with people of color. And Sam was a man from Africa, and he was my coach, and we were inseparable. And so if you take that scene out of that Green Book movie, the scene where they get pulled over for what? No other reason but what? There is a black person in the car or a person of color in the car. Because in that car, we had Sam, we had another player from the Dominican Republic. Clearly, basically, I was the only white person in the car. Yeah. And when I think about that night, and I have to tell you honestly, I have tried to block it out for a lot of years, but it's really hard to block out. And you watch what happens to this, and you see people you care about being thrown on the ground or being thrown up against the car. So imagine what happens when every animalistic version of who you are kicks in, and you decide you're not going to let that happen. See, because I didn't know any better. I didn't know any better growing up. I was, you know, there was a reason my family kicked me out at 17 years old. There was something about my spirit that just wasn't going to let that happen. And I'm still like that today, except that I've found other ways to do it. And I'll never forget that night, because I made the situation worse, and I didn't know it. I made it worse, and I didn't know it. And, you know, it's interesting when I think back at that and all of us getting hauled off. I didn't realize I was making the situation worse. Because I think sometimes when you talk about this, when you read from the book Raising Your Voice in More Ways Than One, when you read from this chapter, and then you talk about how you can heal some of these things in a holistic way, it kind of connects the dots. Because I think for the people that I know and the people that are my friends in the world today, there isn't a single one of us that would allow that situation to happen, not then and not now. This is the conversation I think that's so hard to have. Even knowing that about me, even knowing what my sister was like, my sister did not know color. She lived in a place of Yonkers, and she was the only white person in that project, the only one. And her door was always open, always open. And when you would go there and you go up, the door would be open, there'd be food, people would walk in and out, up and down the stairs. When my sister passed away, her children got a church for her funeral service, which was way too small because people were wrapped around full blocks to come see my sister. And if I only had just a small amount of her love and compassion, I just wondered what kind of person I'd be. I just wondered what I'd be. How do you know that she didn't see color? Well, you probably see it by who she married, or you probably see it by who her children married, right? Or you probably see it by the fact it was never an issue, or you probably see it by what she did in the outside world to be that person that would stand out and be vocal. You probably see it across the board. But you'd also see it by the fact that her door in a project that was so dangerous that when I came, there was a cone in a parking spot for me. And when I came to visit her in my ridiculous out-of-place sports car, three guys would come down to meet me, and they would lift the cone, and I would park there, and they would put a very special sign on my car, meaning, you touch this car, you're dead, pretty much. This is a neighborhood that my sister lived in and loved it, and it was an amazing, amazing experience to have and be in my sister's home. Where color and race were not a conversation. People speaking languages that you couldn't barely understood, although Spanish, we did learn Spanish, a little bit Spanish. But I was greeted by these three men and walked up to her apartment, and her door was open and unlocked. Can you imagine that? Her door was open and unlocked, and there was food everywhere. Food everywhere. Anybody that walked in there, it didn't matter if she knew them or didn't know them. It didn't matter what walk of life you referred. It didn't matter if you had a job, didn't have a job. None of that mattered. They were greeted by my sister with nothing but love. And I think about that today. And I think about Sam today. And I think about those times that we grew up, and I always ask myself this question, is there more that I can do today? I mean, is it enough to be aware but be inactive? See, this is really tricky, isn't it? This is really the question about racism or about inequality. You know, when all you have to do is experience something like a Stonewall to realize that you are just really on the edge of being an activist for your entire life. You just like went on the edge. There's something about it. Or that you watch the horrific treatment, George Floyd. You just watch that. How quickly did we forget that? Hello? Hello? How quickly? You know, how quickly did we forget Black Lives Matter? How quickly did we forget the beating and the strapping of Shepherd to a fence because he was a gay man? How quickly can you forget your table tennis friend walking down the street from a grocery store and getting beat? Right? I mean, who beats a 65-year-old woman? I mean, what is the level of hate that racism, we're not talking about? What is that? So healing racism within we have to shapeshift, as Brett talks about. We have to shapeshift our culture into what he calls a unity consciousness. See, I love that he's talking about this. I love that he's talking about this. And he's talking about how you can become part of some of the amazing tribal rituals that go on where shapeshifting actually happens. But I will tell you this. It's like those movies that you watch where the lawyer, the white lawyer guy defends, you know, Samuel L. Jackson in the movie. And, you know, it's like that movie, Matthew McConaughey and Samuel L. Jackson in that movie. I don't remember the name of the movie, but, you know, there's a line in that movie in the jail cell where there's a confrontation between the two of them. And Samuel L. Jackson says something like, "We're not friends. Do your children play with my children? Has my family been invited to your family's house? Have you come to ours?" And see, this is really the underpinnings of what we're talking about here. You know, are we willing to look at racism from afar, or are we willing to take a look, as Brett says, take a look at it from within? Is this a part of our culture that we don't want to look at? Is this a part of something that has been so insidious for so long that we are all, as he talks about, in denial of what has been in front of us, in denial of things that have been so hard for us to face, you know, in denial of the fact that you think you're walking through Central Park with a group of people and it is just coincidence that the darkest person in the group gets knifed? Is that really coincidence? Is that, you know, is that the story that I can tell myself for years and years and years? You know, is there something that we can learn or do differently? I'll tell you what I wonder. It's Kamala Harris's birthday. It's coming up on her birthday. I just wonder how systemic all of this is. That you can get a powerful woman, both East Indian and African-American woman, in the second highest position in the country, and have her become invisible. See, I wonder about that. I wonder about that. And I wonder about that to the point where I don't know what to do about it. I've tried calling her office. You ever try to call any of your governor offices people? Have you, anybody ever try? You know, like they say, call your congressperson or call your senator. Good luck with that. If I get one more voice machine from Patty Murray, I don't know what I'm going to do. But you can get some Congress people, and you can get their staff, and you can call, and you can ask. See, we think we can't do something, but we really can. Can you post on social media? Can you do things like that? You can. You know, it's interesting. There are some offices that I can call, some Congress people, and they'll ask you where you're from, and you clearly are not from there. And a lot of times what will happen is they will send you to your own senator or Congress people or whoever you want to go to. But a lot of times they'll listen to you, and a lot of times they'll hear you. And I just want to ask, am I the only one that is seeing the invisibility of what the world might see as one of the most powerful women on the planet, who is second to only the president? And is that okay with everybody? Is that okay? You know, the question really, though, for me and many of you, and if you want to read this book right here, right, that book right there, and you kind of go through it, and then you get to the part of the book which I didn't expect. And this is the part that helps you shift. It's the healing power of gratitude. And when I start to think about how grateful I am that we actually live in a place where I can even have a conversation like this, although I don't know if YouTube or Facebook will, maybe I said something, somebody will say something they don't like. That's a whole different story. But can we express multicultural gratitude? Multicultural gratitude. Here's the deal. I want to read what Brett says, right, about this. The healing power of gratitude. Gratitude rewires the brain. Scientific studies show this. Happiness researchers know this. If gratitude can rewire the brain for personal happiness, then why not use it to change social programming conditioning on race? All right, where's he going with this? He then goes on to say, it was when I was exposed to other cultures and began to appreciate them in my own negative racial bias began to change into gratitude and appreciation. And boy, is he right on with is he right on with that? It was when I was exposed to other cultures and began to appreciate them, and my own negative racial bias began to change into gratitude and appreciation. Boy, can't we all learn from that? Can't we all learn from that? Practice offering gratitude for individuals or cultural attributes beyond your own, even if it means starting small. Start with the phrase, I am grateful for, and then fill in the blank, and fill in the blank. Make it a practice to say things which are grateful out loud, even if you can only speak in a semi-audible whisper. It might sound something like this. I am grateful for the music of Richie Havens, especially his song Freedom. I am grateful for the poetry of Audre Monet and the truth of her words. I am grateful for the wonder of Zuni poetry or pottery I used to see in the windows of shops in New Mexico when I was a child. I am grateful for Navajo fry bread, especially when it's covered in honey. I'm actually grateful for that too. I'm actually grateful for the friendship of friend Niku. I'm grateful for the gift of African drumming and the way it brings me to an alpha state of consciousness so easily. I'm grateful for those Mexican and South American immigrants who work in the fields under harsh and unusual, unfair conditions, harvesting the fruit and vegetables I eat each day. And let me just comment on that. When I went to school at Claremont, one of the things we had to do was experience strawberry picking in the fields. There is a reason that white people don't do those jobs. That's just me saying it. The average life of a strawberry picker is like 44. Spend a half a day strawberry picking, and then you have to pay for every strawberry you've earned. And you will have an appreciation for the gifts, the talents, and the hard work that the people in the fields do for us. I'm grateful for the beautiful colors of Indian and Bengali sari in the shop windows near Roosevelt area in Queens, New York. I'm grateful for the wonderful smiles of Balinese people each time I visit Bali. I'm grateful for the courage of William, like Bell Hooks and Sojourner Truth. And how even as a man, reading about them makes me feel like a better person. I'm grateful for the Iroquois Nation and the traditions which were so important in the writing of the United States Constitution. I'm grateful. He goes on. I'm grateful for the Hindu practice of kirtan and singing divine names. I'm grateful for the wonder of Balinese art. I'm grateful for Thai yoga. I'm grateful for the speeches of Martin Luther King and his commitment for justice of all. I'm grateful to the bright poetic mind of Muhammad Ali and the influence he had on sports and culture activists during my childhood. See what he's done? He's now saying, can you do this? Will you do this? Will you do it in the silence of your own space? And he says, this simple exercise in cultural gratitude is like a muscle, and the more you use it, the more it will grow, the wider lens of your own perceptions and appreciation. I'm grateful for having known Sam Hammond, for having him be my friend. I'm grateful for understanding his culture. I'm grateful for knowing that his mother was a phenomenal, successful entrepreneur. I'm grateful that he was able to look at me not as a person that is white and me look at him not as a person of color, and that our friendship transcended all of that. I'm grateful he saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. I'm grateful that I learned so much from him, not just about the sport, not just about becoming a champion, but about becoming a better person, because that's what Sam Hammond was. A better person. I'm grateful for all of the people that invited us to contribute to the music video with John Legend, and I'm grateful for all of you for tuning us in and turning us on. We'll see you next time.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily...